And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. I hope your day started as well as mine. It's beautiful. Take advantage of it today. Well, a couple of things have happened in the last 24 hours. Scouts in the agricultural world have been working their way through the hard red and spring and Durham wheat areas. The tour says it's almost a bushel better than last year at 43.5 bushels to the acre. USDA is continuing to struggle in other places to comply with a congressional requirement to label some meats with their country of origin. That's the birth country of the livestock, where they were raised and fed and where they were slaughtered. A group of cattle producers, however, says the proposal is both disruptive and costly and is suing USDA over its revised requirements. The national average basis for corn was unchanged at $1.39 over the September futures yesterday. The contract, according to the DTN National Corn Index, that's down 18 cents at $6.61. The national average basis for soybeans down 19 cents at 25 cents over the August futures, while the DTN National Soybean Index was down 76 cents at $14.88 a bushel. The national average basis for the hard red winter wheat up a penny at 17 cents under the September futures contract, while the DTN National Hard Red Winter Wheat Index was down 2 cents at $6.82.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Drew Lerner left us a message this morning about the agricultural weather. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Most of the Midwest will continue to experience a relatively favorable environment over this next week to 10 days for crop development. There are still some concerns, though, for some of the western Corn Belt. In fact, a lot of concern in some cases. Areas from Illinois through Iowa back to Nebraska and southward into portions of Kansas and Missouri are still too dry, even though the models are still advertising some opportunity for showers and thunderstorms over the next week. Most of the precipitation that's advertised to impact these areas will be somewhat erratic, and the number of areas to get a good soaking of rain over the next 7 days will be relatively low. With that said, though, there will be some counties out there in Kansas and Missouri and parts of Nebraska, even southwestern Iowa, that could end up with some healthy rainfall. The greatest potential for rain will probably be in the Sunday through Tuesday time period. Until then, we have a cool front that will be cutting through the region as we go through the day tomorrow and Friday. And the two-day period, we'll see enough precipitation occur to at least temporarily hold back the increase in potential stress. More importantly, though, temperatures will be turning quite a bit cooler behind the frontal system, so whatever moisture does occur will be conserved with a slower rate of evaporation occurring behind the system. Temperatures in the upper Midwest will cool down to the upper 60s and lower 70s as we go into Friday and into a part of the weekend. Low temperatures at night in that same area will probably be as cool as some 40-degree readings, and that is rather nippy for this time of the year. Degree day accumulations will certainly set back here, and there'll be a need for greater warmth developing across the region again as we move on into the early days of August. That warm-up should occur next week. We look at the outlook right now of providing a more normal temperature pattern next week, and it looks like the rainfall potential is going to shift so that more areas in the north are favored over those in the south. There will be opportunities for rain in this first 7 days of the outlook outside of the western Corn Belt that I've already mentioned. Many areas in the eastern belt will see anywhere from 2/10 of an inch to 3/4 of an inch of rain. Coverage will be relatively high, and most areas will benefit from whatever moisture does occur. We will not see a heavier rainfall in those areas for a little while. The warm front that will be bringing on the better rains in the western Corn Belt for Sunday through Tuesday will attempt to bring some greater rains into Illinois and parts of the upper eastern parts of the Midwest, and that will likely generate a little more moisture boost for places like northern Indiana and parts of Michigan. Ohio doesn't need a big increase in precipitation. If anything, it needs greater amounts of sunshine and some drier days and warm days in order to counter some of the moisture that's occurred here recently. So they may actually benefit from the drier bias that may occur for a little while next week. The second week of the two-week forecast, which takes us into the first week of August, is going to bring us more precipitation in the northern parts of the Midwest and less in the south. And as a result of that, we'll likely see a little bit of a firming of soil in the southwestern Corn Belt That means portions of Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and southwestern Iowa will fall back into a drier weather mode again, making the rain potential that comes up for this coming Sunday through Tuesday very important for that region. In general, though, the most of the Midwest will see favorable reproductive conditions, with the exception of the southwest, which are going to be totally dependent upon these two rain events coming up. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
All right, thanks. Go to Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated for that daily update of the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago at the CME Group at this hour, corn futures are down 3.25 cents in the nearby September at $5.19 and a quarter. December futures are up a penny and a quarter at $4.87, and the July of next year at $5.12 and three quarters, or 0.75 cents higher. The soft red trading the December at $6.68 and three quarters, 3.25 cents higher. Soybeans are down 34 and a quarter in the nearby August at $14.28 and a quarter. September at $13.19 and a half, 4.5 lower. And November's are 6.5 higher at $12.67, now up 6.75 cents. The January futures at $12.71 and a quarter, up 6.25 cents. Bean meal down $20. Bean oil 21 cents lower. Live cattle futures are 7.5 cents higher in the August at $121.85, and the feeders at $153.35 are down 25. August lean hogs are down 52.5 cents at $98.65. Here to explain what's been happening in the marketplace is Bill Gentry, our regular analyst from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Well, yesterday was a really rough down day. Today appears to be better, at least at this hour. How did the overnight trade ensue?
I think realistically, both camps, the bull and the bear camp, are kind of losing confidence in the news stories yesterday. The basis kind of cracked out, and the question was, why did they do that? Some people said it was beans coming up from the Gulf. Others say the crushers were going to have an extended downtime, and I think that that's a challenge. And the bulls basically lost a little bit of confidence with the basis slipping out, and thought maybe the farmers were basically throwing in the towel and letting loose of their final batch of inventory.
So is it just a blowout day, and then we're back to a lower level at this point, and try to move steadily higher, or what happens?
I think we're going to remain choppy, but in this situation, what we usually do is kind of use what we call the two-day rule. And the last time basis slipped out like this, they gave the market a couple of days, and when the producers didn't let loose, the basis came back, and we kind of regained some of that momentum to the upside. But right now, we've got a real challenge as far as good weather. We've had degraded crop conditions over the last couple, 3 weeks. Those ratings will probably stabilize next week, and the weather does not look overly intimidating, and the precip chances have dissipated a little bit. So moving forward, we don't have any strong threat against the crop, but it's not likely that we're going to improve a great deal either.
Can I go back to your earlier comment just very quickly so that the folks that listen through us and not exactly to us understand what happened yesterday in the marketplace and the basis level, which is the difference between the cash price that farmers would receive and the futures prices in Chicago. And roughly speaking, I think if I summarize this correctly, you're telling me the marketplace decided to scare farmers to see if they would sell at a lower level. Is that right?
Yeah, the basis kind of slips out, and basically the processor or the elevator says, I don't need your inventory anymore. I'm going to take the price lower. And it's like, well, if they don't have any demand, maybe I better get rid of my inventory now before it goes a lot lower. And that's what a lot of people think, that come fall, you know, we could see, you know, sub $4 corn. A move like yesterday basically is something that can, you know, stimulate that or get that kind of a move started.
Now, to be clear, it can't just be an end user that really tries to do this, but it happens sort of all at once, and there are funds that are involved and all kinds of chart spaces that trigger computer trading and all kinds of things that move.
You bet. It's kind of like a gas station war or a pump war. When one guy on one side of the street lowers his price, the guy on the other side just lowers his price or raises his price, and the other guy raises his price. They just, one follows the other. And if a whole group of them do it together, then it gives you that sense that maybe there's a physical change in the marketplace.
Well, your best set of advice on new crop for corn and soybeans today?
We can continue to try to get some sales in the books. Bought puts alone aren't probably going to do it, but cash sales with maybe some calls in the back burner is probably a good idea. And basically what we've been telling our guys is transition to cash sales as soon as you feel comfortable. You've got the bushels, corn and beans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Bill Gentry is with Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday morning edition of the Opening Market Report. Let's update some of the numbers in the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures at $106.65 a barrel are now down 58 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline, or the RBOB, at $3 and a nickel, 8 tenths of a cent lower for the day, and ethanol futures trading at 237 are down 9 tenths of a cent. The spread between those two is a penny and a tenth wider than it was yesterday at 68 and a tenth of a cent. Natural gas down a penny and a half at $3.72 and 8 tenths, and diesel fuel at $3.05 and 7 tenths of a cent is a penny and 2 tenths of a cent lower for the afternoon. And then, as we look at the weather forecast, we see sunny skies today, a high of 74 degrees, mostly clear this evening, and 55. It should be just a fantastic night. Again, tomorrow, sunny skies and 78. Thursday evening, clear and 60. Friday, sunny and 80 degrees. And on Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 82. Sunny on Saturday and 76. And mostly clear with a low of 56 on Saturday evening. This is WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. Thanks for being with us, back in just an hour with an update of the markets. I'm Todd Gleason.